Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host around these parts, and I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in today. You are in for a real treat. We have got John Usborne from 242 Community Church. This is a great church in Michigan. Actually, we've had some guests on the past. One of those churches you should be following. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the country in a place where you don't typically think of fast growing churches, which is even better. So super glad that you're on the show today, John.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role? You're the creative arts director. So tell us about your church and tell us about the about what you do and kind of give us a sense of your kind of what you're up to at the church.
Yeah. So 242 has been around for about 13 years and started out as a portable church in a high school in the area and moved into a performing arts center, then finally built our first community center actually in 2013. And so we've been doing that in the Brighton area for about 3 years now. And last year, we just finished construction for another community center in Ann Arbor. One thing 242's heart beats for is the community. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't want to build just a large building that sits dormant, you know, throughout the week. We wanted to really give a gift to our community. And by doing so, offer a place where they could come. And I'm actually sitting in a room and at the School for the Arts right now, which is usually after 4 o'clock. I have no access to this room because somebody's taking guitar lessons or piano lessons or voice lessons
very
in here.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of like what we do. And and what I do specifically here is I'm the creative arts director overseeing visual arts as well as speaking into the weekend quite a bit. And then now I'm kind of getting even more involved in the worship side of things. I've been a worship leader for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of dipping my toe into that a little bit here as well as we get ready to create some structures and some processes to really push toward the future here at 242. So it's an exciting time.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love the story, what's happening here, what God's doing at 242. It's really cool. There's so many aspects of this story I would love for our listeners to kind of dig in on. But what sometimes you think about leading creatives can be a difficult process, getting a chance to kind of pull those folks together and drive in the same direction. You know, a lot of times I'm not sure it's really true, but this idea of herding cats can come in. I'd love to hear about how you're really working to kind of build team specifically within your area. You know, how does all that work? What are you learning in that process?
Yeah, for sure. That has definitely been a learning process. And that's something that over the course of the past few years has been really amped up for me. I think the typical person, including myself, when we first get involved in leading worship often is the things that we can't get past in our mind. It's like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm getting my schedule correct, mm-hmm. that I'm getting everybody on a rotation. I want to make sure that the songs we choose are intentional mm-hmm. and that what we're doing on the weekend feels good. And that the ultimately our community is being led to the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this is a moment of surrender and it's impactful. And we're not just up here singing songs.
Right.
And that's great. Like that absolutely, like that is where to start. Mm-hmm. And I've been learning a lot being a part of 242 actually, that there's a lot more that we can do to build that community, to build systems and structures of discipleship within that community so that what we have on the weekend are people who understand the value of that. They've been led together. They've been discipled together. We're not just working on skills training, like, hey, make sure when you lead that song and you hit this note, you're doing that. Or when you say this, that you're saying it like this. We're really leading out of a place of, man, we've grown together and we've discovered mm-hmm. what worshiping is, not just on the stage, to a point to where when we come up here, this all flows a little bit more naturally. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit less technique to what you're doing and a little bit more depth to what you're doing. And that can be difficult. That can be difficult with artists and, mm-hmm. and any place, mm-hmm. especially at 242 where we are growing fast and we're constantly auditioning people. And so it's tempting to just go, you know what, we're going to skip a lot of that process and we're just going to go straight to the stage or whatever
right.
we need to do.
Do this. Right.
Yes. But we're definitely learning the value of growing our people deep. And then experiencing the outflow of that.
The thing I love about what you're saying there is, just to underline something you're saying, is you know, it's really this idea of not just doing weekend services, but building a both a culture and then a system for making weekend services, right? It's really the how do we develop really the whole thing and develop teams of people and leaders at all levels, that sort of thing, and ultimately disciple people to, you know, move closer to that. Well, let's peel the onion a few layers and get into it. What does that look like for you at 242?
Yeah. So for instance, just this morning, I held an audition for a gal who came in and she's a vocalist. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, when they're coming into an audition, they're thinking, hey, I've been at service. I've seen what they do on the stage. I'd love to be a part of that. And so that's kind of where the expectation is. And so right from the get-go, we're saying, hey, when you audition for this community, you're auditioning to be a part of this ministry team. You're not auditioning for the stage. Mm-hmm. So that's not really in the picture yet. And it doesn't matter if Carrie Job walked in and wanted to audition.
Like, right.
There's still a process to how we do that. And so building that culture from the very beginning and saying, we don't want to just develop your skill. Like, your skill isn't what identifies you in this community. Who you are is what identifies you. And being a worshiper of Jesus is what identifies you. And so we want to, like, let's get on the same page about maybe what that looks like, and then let's talk about how we strategically develop that. And it really breaks down to small groups within our worship community. And any venue that we can find besides a weekend stage to have somebody serve is something else that we constantly work on. You know, there's church meetings, there's Bible study groups, there's all different kinds of things that happen where it'd be great to have worship for that event. And when we're not thinking that way, we often pull from the same pool of people and wear ourselves out and go, man,
interesting.
I only have these 10 musicians to do all this ministry with, instead of saying, hey, you know what, just to get started and get your feet wet, why don't you serve here and here? And I'm not just sending you off to do that because I don't want to do that or because, but we're actually going to be there with you and watch you do that. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about it after and like, how did that feel? And, you know, and kind of walk that way. And some people may not ever end up in an environment that they assumed they were auditioning for, but find a lot of life and a lot of fulfillment in doing something that wasn't even on their radar, but still pushes us in our efforts to leading worship on the weekend. And it's a beautiful thing.
The cool thing I love about that is, you know, I think there can be the spotlight can attract, you know, maybe something not so positive out of our souls sometimes, right? We can, the fact that we're kind of on stage, we need to treat that with, you know, with a certain amount of reverence and, you know, a hushed voice around, hey, what's happening to us on the inside before we let's kind of put people up in front of everyone. And so I think that's fantastic. I actually know of another church where they have a similar process where they say to their people as they're coming in. Now, it's a large church. They're, you know, 15,000, maybe 20,000 people, big church. And when people apply to come in, and it's all volunteers on their stages, and when people applied to come in, they actually start in a similar way. But the first question is, well, we really would love you to serve in another area first. Mm-hmm. And actually everyone, which is, this is amazing to me, everyone who's ended up on stage has at some point served in the facilities team. Actually, the people who have like literally vacuumed the floors, make sure the flower beds look good and all that kind of stuff. And they've done that deliberately. They've said, listen, because what they've said, I remember the worship leader saying to me once, he said, it just weeds people out. Like, it just, there are folks that are saying, listen, I can't do that. And we're like, well, if you can't serve here, you know, and it's not that people are there for a long time. It's they're, you know, there for a bit to kind of see that. That's interesting. That's really cool. What are you doing? So let's say someone, they end up serving in a couple different areas. What's kind of the next step from there?
Yeah, the next step is they're going to be on a ministry team. So, so vocalists, for example, let's take that same person. They're going to be on a team of vocalists that has a team leader and an apprentice for that team. And that actually, that model right there comes from Dave and John Ferguson's exponential small groups model that ultimately hopes to plant churches. But we've kind of really made that, like, that's got to be the DNA of everything that we do here, because we've found that people, when they serve on a team, when they say, hey, I want to lead worship, that's not volunteering to play in a cover band or something like that. I think most people expect some level of there to be a redemptive quality to what they're doing, some spiritual aspect. And oftentimes what we can so easily do is it turns into, all right, we'll put you on the schedule, come on in, sing the songs,
learn
the
song.
And there is a spiritual aspect in the fact that we're leading worship, but beyond that, there's not really a spiritual development pathway for that person.
Oh, that's good.
And so that's what we're focusing on. And one thing that I say a lot, you know, is we're not, and I got this from a guy, Don Simmons in California. He's a volunteerism guy and he's awesome. Church doesn't exist. Ministry doesn't exist to get things done. It exists to get people done help them develop. So if we're not doing that, if that's not the heartbeat of our ministry, then we've kind of lost sight of that. So if she's a vocalist or he's a vocalist, they're going to be on that team. They'll have a team lead over a 3-month period. That team lead will have two goals. Mm-hmm. One is to get together with their team as a whole, 5 or 6 people, mm-hmm. and they can kind of almost have a little mock small group time, get to know each other, mm-hmm. Open the Bible together, and then also do some, like, let's do some harmony training. Let's do some skills training. Let's also talk about, like, how are we worshiping in our life? Mm-hmm. And then the team lead's second goal is to just get together with each person in their team individually one time. Mm. And that's to go out to coffee or just hang out, whatever. And the whole goal of that is relationships. The whole goal of that is discipleship and just being present in someone's life, another touch point for someone. And so in that, when we're looking for these team leads, we're not looking like, it's not like, okay, all of our best vocalists, stand up. You're our team leads. That's not how that works.
Right, right.
And it's also not everybody who's been here the longest, stand up. You're the team lead. It's more, hey, those people through our own conversations that have that pastor's heart, and feel like, and anybody who's out there who leads worship has had those conversations with people that say, man, I'm just really feeling like God wants me to, you know, possibly step into a leadership role or lead someone through. That's like, that is an indicator right there. That's a possible team lead. That's somebody who's feeling a call on their life that they're meant to lead people and not just lead these moments of worship. And so in as much there can be times where somebody maybe isn't the most talented vocalist in the group, but they have that call in their life to lead people and to be available for them and have those conversations. When you say, hey, go grab coffee with this person, that's just what gives them life and they love that. So, but their job is to host trainings, not to do trainings. So they don't have to have that pressure. Man, I got to teach them vocally. I don't know. This person's way better than me. So that's all part of that structure.
Interesting. So the thing I love about that is I think, and again, I don't, hopefully this isn't getting a little too real, but you know, I think there can be a time where particularly maybe the staff or the kind of key leader in a worship area, they can picture that the kind of the team can't go as far as them or can't go beyond them, right? Because it's all just about their kind of creative output. It's about their ability to kind of land that killer lick or, you know, hit that note or whatever. But the thing I love that you're doing is you're casting such a bigger vision for, hey, this is what leadership is about. It is, yes, we're going to have some output. Yes, we're actually going to create services that are great. 242 does amazing services. You guys are really creative, all that. You actually worry about those things as well. But there's a bigger picture going on here. I just love that. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think in this season, and we're going through a lot of transition right now, and a lot of these things are going from conceptualization to actually being lived out.
Great.
And it's a challenge. It's not easy. But one of the things that we'll be communicating with our teams as we continue down this journey is, man, we're a church family, and we can't lose sight of that fact.
Yes.
That we're a family. And so for each person who's in this team, each person who's on this staff as a church, whether we completely agree with each other or disagree, whatever happens, like, we see each other through life. So we stand by each other. It doesn't have anything to do with organizations or with the hierarchy of our own ministry teams or our volunteers. Just know that you're part of this family, and we will do our best to see you through this whole process.
Yeah. So the thing I love, you know, I've said in other contexts, listen, if this is just about running events, we should all stop doing this and go run events. Cause like there's better, like more profitable ways to do that for a living. Like I didn't get into this to just like, let's put on shows every week. That's not what it's about. You know, it's about driving to something deeper in people's lives. I love that. What would you say some of the kind of resistant points you're coming to, some of the like, ooh, this is maybe not working so well as you're making this transition?
Yeah, I think casting a vision like this is definitely challenging. It's hard for people to grasp. You know, when for so long the culture has been to audition for the stage, essentially, like join for the stage, that can be a little bit of a challenge. I have never met a person, though, when you communicate that heart in audition that goes, you know what, I'm not interested in that. You know what I mean? I've never had that conversation. And I think sometimes that's what leaders can be afraid of, is they're afraid that, like, man, if I say that you're not going to hop right up on the stage, then maybe they won't come. Or like, because there's an element to that limelight that I almost want them to have so that they try it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's like, man, don't be tempted by that, because God's going to provide. And as soon as you start doubting that, you live in a little bit of fear, and that's not good.
Yeah.
But I would say some of the tension has been casting that vision. Some of the tension can be really finding those team leads is such a big thing.
Right.
That turns into the most critical role in this whole structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be tempting to say, man, in my mind, I've just seen this person as a team lead, and that might not be the right person. And you really have to take a hard look at that. Mm-hmm. So what we do, what we continue to do here is say, when we get a group together, hey, here's our plan, here's the vision, here's the why,
mm-hmm.
because we want to be like that church in Acts, which is what our whole church is based off of, Acts 2:42.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be a true community here. We'll ask, who do you see in this community that could fill this role?
Mm.
Like, and if there's somebody that pops out in your head, let us know that. Like, shoot us a text later, whatever. We don't like have them raise hands and like, it's that. but also too, where do you see yourself in this kind of a structure? And so that, and we'd even say that also is giving you an off ramp. Like, if you don't see yourself in something like this, and this isn't your thing, then feel free. Like, absolutely, you know, we're not trying to hold you here at all,
mm-hmm.
but it's been really cool. The moments where we ask those questions and then it becomes really clear who that person is. And everyone's like, man, this has been the leader of our group just naturally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that person's even like, hey, you know, I think it might be me. It's like, yes, perfect. Mm. But really determining that person is critical, and that can be a challenge. I have put someone in a team lead role that I was sure was the right person. And even after two quarters, it wasn't a good fit, and we had to face that. So that wasn't easy, but that could be a challenge.
Interesting. This is really cool. I love the focus here. I think you're, I think obviously you're headed in the right direction. I just think it's fantastic. Now let's talk about I'm sure there's people listening in, they're like, yeah, but okay, so how does all that relate to actually getting weekend services done? And like, have you had like a 50% reduction in your total number of teams? And like, what impact has it on that? Not that I'm like the cynical person that's just interested in getting weekends to happen, but what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, I think the cool thing is when the structure is healthy like this,
yep.
and people aren't burnt out, like we have a lot of values that drive it. One of those is, we want people to serve 2 times a month, 3 when things are on fire, but like never every single weekend.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who have come from another church or another background, and they have hurt from like, man, I was just totally burned out.
Mm.
But when they talk to somebody who's been a part of our structure, usually that, and another big value of us is like, we're recruiting everyone as a recruiter for this team,
right?
Not the worship director.
Right.
So they'll say, man, this is totally different. You got to try it. Trust me. It's something like you know, whatever. That has actually grown it's been a growing point for our team, to be honest. I think oftentimes when we put everybody in one pile and there isn't a system, I don't think that community is really cared for the way that God would call us to when we're in ministry together. And so sometimes I think that can actually lead to people falling off the map a little bit easier than when they're actually part of a community, they're part of a family, and they have that buy-in, and they know their team lead's going to call them, and they're a part of something. Then they're like, this is where I am. Like, this is my ministry.
Right.
And so it's really been a growing point for us. And our hope is the end result of all of this is our moments of worship on the weekend are authentic, that they're inspiring, and that they're excellent. Mm-hmm. And I think we're starting to see that. We're continuing to see that. And I've seen that in the past with teams and stuff. And it's been really cool to see that take shape. And then the ultimate output too, one of the things that we're really excited about that we're starting to talk about is all of these stories from this community, all these people, the way that God's moving in this community, that is all fuel for the creative expression of what we do.
Right.
Like, man, like I'm meeting with a team lead. They tell me the story about how they, you know, this person just overcame a challenge in their personal life. And that's so inspiring to me and that team lead. We're like, dude, here's the aspect of God that I have just fallen more in love with through that story. And we'll get together and like, hey, let's write this out. What does this mean? And that can turn into a song.
Mm.
That can turn into a special element for a weekend. And that's where ultimately this system of discipleship in this community creates a response cycle for us, where we're responding to what's happening instead of going like, man, what are we going to do this series? We're scratching our heads. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough stories. We don't have enough content. When we're doing this in all of our ministry departments, and we have this closeness with our teams, that stuff kind of becomes second nature and it's organic. And that really starts creating that voice from our church. Like, hey, this is specifically what God's doing in our church through our teams. And it's an exciting thing. So we're just getting into the songwriting process and responding to that stuff. And that's been a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Well, this has been fantastic. Is there anything else you want to share before we kind of pivot on with the rest of the episode? There's been a lot here, really helpful today for sure.
I think I would just encourage teams that if you're on a smaller team and you're like, well, that sounds great, but I have three people. So you're telling me that I have to like create these team leads and all this stuff. And I have three people. I would say just start that DNA now, like do it now with the three people that you have, because those might be three team leads in the future. But really build into that community, that relationship, start that DNA now. And trust that God's going to continue to build that. And that's, you're never going to waste effort doing that. And in a previous context, when I was working at a church in California, is where I kind of did this for the first time, this kind of a structure. And we went from about four or five people when I got there to over 40 in 2 years.
Wow.
And those were 40 people who weren't just like numbers on a sheet. Mm-hmm. Those people who were really involved in a community that that are still there and doing that. So that's... it's an exciting thing. I would just say I've worked at a small church and I know that it can be frustrating. You're like, that sounds great, but just hang in there, create that culture now and just watch God do his work.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump in the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. I've loved today's conversation with John Usborne from 242, great church. And I just love all this, you know, what you're connecting with here. I think it's just fantastic. What's an online resource you're using, John, that's helping you in your ministry?
Yeah, so we recently switched over to Slack. It's a nice communications tool, we've been using that. That's been really cool, especially in multi-site when you have people in different geographical locations, but in the same conversation room. That's one thing we really like about Slack. And Trello integrates with that, and we use Trello to build out our planning center plans for the weekend. Planning center gives us the quick drive-by, but Trello gives us all those details. So between Slack and Trello, those are kind of the two things that we've really been using. It's been driving our department.
Have you found your email kind of traffic has gone down because you're more dependent on Slack now?
Well, we had to make it mandatory for our church.
Yep.
Everybody on staff has to use Slack for interdepartmental communication.
Yep.
Obviously, when people are, you know, emailing us to audition or we have things from outside the church, that's what we use email for. But everything else goes through Slack, and we had to make that mandatory. So that was an interesting time, but everybody loves it now.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's true. I've heard that though. You've got to kind of push through, make it happen. What's a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
Yeah, I just read Garden City by John Mark Comer. Mm. And it was such a good book about the rhythm of work and rest and keeping those things in balance, as well as searching for like, what's God's purpose for work? What's his purpose for rest? And how do these things create that natural rhythm in my life? And that's something that's been huge for me. I often say like, okay, well, when all my stuff's moving forward at work, when all my people feel cared for at work and all my projects are ahead, that's when I'm going to take some time off. And I'm starting to reverse my mentality. When my family is cared for and my kids feel like they've had enough time and my wife is loved, that's when I'll go to work, you know? And that book was huge for me.
That's really cool. What's another ministry or church that you're looking at that inspires you these days?
All right, well, I'm going to be super cliche with this one.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
I love Hillsong United.
Nice.
And,
that's great.
One thing I love about them is they don't fit the mold. And the past two albums they put out from a worship leader perspective, I'm like, man, I don't know which song of this could be in a regular rotation.
Right.
And that can be frustrating for a worship leader. But I actually think it's kind of cool because they're challenging that mold.
Mm, true.
And with each album they put out, I love the creativity. I love the depth to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. They're just really, I think, setting the bar at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really inspiring to me. And every time I sit down with a guitar or piano, like, okay, we're going to write something. That's the bar that like is in my mind. I appreciate that. That challenges us all to step up our game.
Yeah, it really is amazing how they, you know, they're just in the evolution of, you know, them as a movement or a band or whatever. They could just keep churning out songs that sound exactly the same, but seem to have deliberately said, no, we're not going to do that. You know, we're going to do some different stuff. And yeah, there's sometimes listening to this, I'm like, I'm not sure how this fits in anywhere, but it's an interesting song. It's a good song.
It's super good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super good. Exactly. That's great. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader that's alive today, who would you get that with and why?
I would say Francis Chan. I think this guy like totally gets it. I've gotten a couple leadership things. The way that he simplifies, like I think I was in a leadership training one time and he said, err on the side of action. Like he gave an example, you know, when you're out somewhere in the community and you feel like God is calling you, like you see some people out, you see somebody like, I really feel like maybe that person needs to have a conversation about Jesus. So I'm going to wait until God taps me on the shoulder and tells me to have that conversation. Like, no, just, I don't think there's going to be any fruit lost by you going and, right. and saying, you know what? I need to have this conversation. And that's just, that's that example. But the way that he does that kind of stuff, man, the way he explains that, it's so simple and it's just, it really is inspiring to me. I love it.
Yeah, it's very cool. That's great. Well, I'm sure, you know, leading in your environment, you know, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of output. What do you do just for fun when you want to kick back, relax, and just enjoy life a little bit, John?
I love hanging with my family. I have three girls and they are all completely different and a ton of fun. And I love hanging with them, playing music for sure. I kind of have like a little mock studio in my basement that's cool. Not anything cool, but it's enough to like get dirty and just kind of do something. So I love doing that kind of stuff. That's what fills me up.
Very cool. Well, John, I appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can always email me. That's totally fine. They can do that through the church. They can call 242, get right a hold of me from there. Mm-hmm. I have Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, but I honestly just post pics of my kids on there all
right.
the time.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that's good.
I have a Twitter as well, at John Osborne. You can look me up there and we can chat. So
nice.
Pretty much anywhere.
That's great. John, I really appreciate your being on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.